There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. 251-343-0106 for a call or text. 251-343-0106. Also, just coming in the last 10 minutes or so, we talked about it for the news. Accident, maybe more of them out there, but the one right here in our backyard, 65 northbound between Airport and Dolphin. Obviously, it's going to be one car, maybe two cars. We're looking at that, but it's probably going to have some traffic issues. You're heading northbound on 65. And before we get my buddy on here, I do want to – so many texts coming in, and we'll try to get to these. But about text, about the political text that we've been getting. And the one that April Marie mentioned was something to me where they said, we saw that you read the text. Like, why haven't you answered? That's like creepy X kind of stuff. I got one the other day. And the one that said they'd sent me, oh, you get to be part of a survey. And, of course, I didn't answer it. And then they came back, let's try this again. You're desperate. And then this texter said, first of all, let's see. So you're telling me that I get up to 40 text messages per day, partially because I always vote. I will ask my state legislator to keep my voting participation private. That's the thing. Like, those of us that showed up today, so you already have a small turnout. It's a primary runoff. And as silly as it sounded at the beginning of the show when I was talking about the stats, it's raining, which I don't think should affect him, but it's raining. So when that information goes through that I showed up and voted today, I'm even more on this. I mean, the state's selling the information. Don't they want to know the person? You talk about a high propensity voter, you, oh my gosh, you braved it in the rain. I'm one of those. All right. My buddy John Sharp, you read his work over at AL.com or see his mastery of the pickleball courts on courts all over South Alabama. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. No pickleball today. It's a soaker. So nobody's getting out on the court.
Wait, listen.
And if they do, they probably fall and hurt themselves.
You need to be tough. Yeah. You need to be this is what the.
Right.
I did look this up. Now, this is coming from ChatGPT, so I just plugged stupid question, you know, monkey brain went, oh, you tell me thing. But it kicks back that, and like I said, I don't have how you figured out what the baseline is, the different elections. They said, generally, though, a 1% drop in turnout for every inch of rain on election day.
Yeah, and then do we take the compound factors on public burnout, voter burnout?
Or are they interested? It's the silliest thing ever. Yeah. But I do hear, like, I mean, it does make a difference. I still don't understand that. I mean, if you have flash flooding and hail and all that kind of stuff, that's one thing. But if it's raining, it's Mobile. It's Baldwin County. It rains here. Go vote. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not an ideal day for voting, but it's... You know, I'm always skeptical of that. That's going to keep the voters away. I mean, tonight we're looking at what? I mean, this could be abysmally historic low turnout.
This may be the lowest you and I have ever seen. It may be. And you and I have seen some low ones, brother.
Well, you know, it raises the question, too, because, you know, interestingly, we're looking at a special election on August 11th that is a primary winner-take-all contest. So the one who gets the plurality of votes advances on to the general election. Will that be a, you know, I'm skeptical about, you know, any kind of wholesale election changes in Alabama, but could that be kind of a model, perhaps, if everything works out, there's decent turnout for the special elections in the congressional districts where it's held, you know, somewhere down the line could we be looking at Alabama without runoffs. I don't know. I mean, you're spending a lot of money for them, and you're getting very low turnout. And a lot of states outside of the South have plurality elections. Mm-hmm. They don't have runoffs. So, you know, where's the future of this heading? It's almost too much. I mean, look at Mobile. we're just coming off hot municipal elections, multiple elections last year, turn around, have, you know, four elections this year, a little bit of confusion as well with the congressional races. And it's a lot for the voters to take in and expect them to be at all these elections. I mean, you and I are on top of all this. We go out to vote. For instance, today I was the 94th voter in Daphne Civic Center after 2 hours of voting. That's not very good.
I was the 30th at 8:40-something. I have to look at it. I was the 30th. That'd be 3-0.
That's pretty poor. Right.
The people in there look like
the poll workers are bored, you know.
They told me that. I mean, I walked in, it looked like Maytag repairmen everywhere. And I asked one guy I was walking out, he said something to the effect of, it's going to be a long day. I said, chin up, brother, chin up. But it's, you know, it's interesting. You talk about if we would not have a runoff program or not have runoff elections, you could have somebody, obviously not having a plurality. But maybe there's an argument to be made. If everybody turned out to vote, you'd say, no, we got to have a runoff because you want to have somebody that has a plurality. But if we're getting in the teens of turnout, of not just citizens, teens of registered voters, you know, 17%, 15%, whatever it is, then maybe that's all the people that get to make the decisions for how we go with government.
Well, yeah, it kind of takes away, you know, the whole idea of having a runoff is so that you can have somebody that
gets a plurality. Yes.
Yeah. But you go to the runoff election, then you have a turnout who really is showing up to vote, you know, deciding your, this is a crucial election today. I mean, whoever wins this race between Jared Hudson and Barry Moore, probably most likely in 99.9% chance is going to be our next senator. I mean, this is a huge election. So, you know, you're going to have low turnout for it, and that's who's deciding a very important position in federal government. So, yeah, I mean, it's something that I think is worth discussing going forward. I mean, because you're looking at these turnouts, and this isn't just a one-year thing. This has gone on for a while now. Mm-hmm. We're seeing runoff elections with low turnout. We saw the primary election had what overall was 23%. That's very low. In Baldwin County was below 20%. So I know we have a hot race down in the southern part of Baldwin County, state representative seat. Perhaps that might boost the county's turnout a little bit, but beyond that, I don't know. So we'll be interested to see what the turnout numbers are today. There were some interesting turnout figures from back last month in the primary. Mobile's numbers were fairly low. Again, it makes you wonder whether or not we're just kind of, you know, it's just overwhelming with the number of elections we've seen in the last 2 years. When
you come to, you know what, toughen up, voters. I'm sorry, toughen up.
I get it. Look at Montgomery.
Cry me a river.
Over 30. Yeah, but Montgomery had 33-34% turnout.
They can do it.
That's not great, but relatively speaking, they're showing up to vote. So something's up, and it's interesting. It really is interesting to see what you're trying to figure out. Why certain areas of the state are not turning out versus others. So
for sure. Just listen to what John said. And the races, to me, they're all important to go vote in the runoff. But even if they do one term, your next senator will be there 6 years. 6 years of them in the Senate representing the state of Alabama, one of two. And you can't, that we have down the teens percent of registered voters that give a damn. Wow. That's depressing.
Yeah, that's where we're at. And that's, you know, it'll be, like I said, it'll be interesting, but also depressing to see what the turnout figures are later on this evening.
Well, we'll be watching your reporting on that. Of course, you're going to have to mix that in with what all eyes are on. I wonder if the turnout for people hearing the new hockey team name will be higher than people that showed up to their polling places. Because I guess tonight's the night. It's been teased for a while that we'll find out the hockey team name, right? What's it going to be?
Well, it could be kind of. I'm pretty sure it's gonna. If I was guessing and betting, nobody's really want to put the cat out of the bag officially. But it seems like when we look at the trademarks and the trademark application, and then the little hint that was sent out last week on social media, all indications that we're looking at potentially the Mystics, revival of that brand. And, it's interesting. This is not unusual in professional sports, in minor league sports and in major league. We think of the Cleveland Browns, for instance. That's probably the most high-profile example, and they were removed from Baltimore, rebranded as the Ravens, and then years later an expansion team, and they brought the Browns name.
Mm-hmm.
That happens a lot, interestingly, like in Augusta, Georgia, for instance, the minor league hockey team there, they're named the Lynx. Apparently years ago they lost their franchise, and then they had an expansion franchise just a few years ago, rebranded the name, brought back the name the Lynx, and then added colors that are appropriate for that area of Augusta, Georgia, the Masters. Mm-hmm. So their colors are yellow and green, and yep. I think that's kind of adds that local flavor. So that's kind of what I would assume we're looking at here with Mobile. You got Mardi Gras. I wrote a story, it's up on AL.com, about how really Mobile in the last really 8 to 9, 10 years has really gone all in on this, kind of embracing the brand of Mardi Gras in marketing and even like the second line transit coming out next mm-hmm. month, that's named after a Mardi Gras element. So that would just kind of flow into what we're seeing. It really puts icing on the cake, I guess. I mean, that really... the king cake. Yeah, good one, Sean. So but New Orleans, for instance, they don't have a nickname after any Mardi Gras. I mean, the Saints have a Mardi Gras feel when you go to a game. You'll have a second line come out on the football field. But they're not named the New Orleans Beads.
Right.
Or the New Orleans King. Now, there is the King Cake Baby, which is kind of a creepy mascot for the Pelicans.
Yes.
But the Pelicans, the name Pelican is not Mystics. It's not... You know what I'm saying? It's not the New Orleans floats.
Right. And the Pelicans, you could say, for the entire state, right? Louisiana, the Pelican State, or, one of the many monikers.
Yeah.
But this one, I think if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It wasn't because the name wasn't working why hockey went away from here. I think the name is, that's a pretty strong pull.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. You still see the jerseys around. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily jerseys, but like T-shirts. You see the emblem for sale around town on T-shirts and long-sleeve shirts, those kind of items. And I think that's kind of cool still. After all these years, people still buy that old cartoon-looking M and
yes.
with the dragon coming out. So it is, that people like that. That was a brand that people really gravitated towards. It wasn't necessarily the team didn't leave because of a failure of the brand. It was more or less the argument could have been made it could have been the Mobile Civic Center. It wasn't the most appealing place to go watch a game, but we'll have this team playing at Regions Arena, and it'll be up to the folks at the Oakview Group and Zoyer Sports and Entertainment to make that thing work. But that's kind of what we're looking at today at 6 p.m. We should know the name of the Mobile's hockey franchise. And the franchise will be playing in the Southern Professional Hockey League. That's a pretty well-known hockey division in the South. Pensacola Ice Flyers would be one franchise in it. And
so we'll have our
rivalry.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
We'll have those rivalries.
Yeah. There's there's a couple other teams in the South. Plus, you take that franchise, there's teams in other areas of the country as well. You go all the way up to Moline, Illinois, for instance. They have a team. Peoria, Illinois has a longtime franchise up there. Rochester, there's a franchise in Virginia as well. So it's other parts of the country. You're taking that Mystics brand with them, and folks that will be going to those games will be like, well, what's that named all about?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait a minute, Mardi Gras. Oh, Mobile's the birthplace of Mardi Gras. So people that, probably never been to Mobile before, or even Alabama, would immediately identify. Then all of a sudden, hey, this is kind of a cool brand name that has a lot of fun to it, and maybe we may want to go down there and check out their Mardi Gras someday. It's a good selling point for Mobile, I think.
And I wonder exactly when And maybe it was back when David Clark came in at Visit Mobile. I don't know who took on, like, let's brand for Mardi Gras, right? I mean, this was, like you said, it's been happening decade and a half. And it's something I've talked about. You get blinders on. Like, you didn't grow up here. I grew up here. It's like, you know, I've said many times it took me getting to the University of Alabama to realize not everybody grew up in a place with a battleship in our backyard and a big party, you know, for Mardi Gras each year. I guess academically I knew it wasn't part of culture elsewhere, but it was my culture. And maybe it takes somebody from the outside looking in and said, hey, look at this thing y'all do that's different. Let's make that a branding where those of us that were grew up in it, we love it, but we never thought about it as like our brand, but it absolutely is a brand.
No, you're right. I think it really stems back to the Born to Celebrate brand that Visit Mobile jumped on. It's been a little while now, but that has really, that kind of set the platform where we're kind of seen over the last several years. I mean, you know, Stephen McNair, he's be credited mm-hmm. for the flag and keeping the gold and the purple colors. We've embraced that. I mean, that I moved here probably was been 13, 14 years ago. I don't remember it to this level. I mean, when I first got here, you still had no Mardi Gras Park. It was kind of an abysmal looking little gated off area.
Yeah.
That helped revitalize, I think, that area downtown. People go to that park. They migrate there during Mardi Gras season. Those statues that initially they were put up, everybody's just kind of scratching their heads, but I think they're kind of cool. And, I mean, it's really a neat park. And then you got a lot of, you know, you go downtown now, you go to a retail store and you can buy a Mobile Mardi Gras t-shirt. When I first got here, it was, you could buy Mardi Gras shirts, but it was during Mardi Gras season. I don't recall being able to go out.
We would have never thought.
You'd have to go to Toomey's.
Yeah. If you didn't go there, and we would have never thought about that. Like people who grew up here, like, I'm not speaking for everybody, I speak for myself. That's the only person I get to speak for. But, we wouldn't have thought that it was a thing that was a big part of our culture, but like saying, hey, it has a brand that goes with it. It was just like, hey, it's Mardi Gras. Well, we're going downtown. I mean, it took somebody looking at it with a different set of eyes.
Right. And I think it's been also an evolution too. You know, remember the billboard in New Orleans? I kind of thought that had a, you know, that had a gravity. Folks in Mobile kind of, mm-hmm. it's fun. It's a playful thing between New Orleans and Mobile, but there's seriousness to this. And for Mobile, it's kind of like, yeah, we own this too. We're the birthplace and we have a pretty cool Mardi Gras. We got a story to tell and we're going to tell it. And New Orleans, you know, you know, people associate Mardi Gras to New Orleans and other parts of the country, but hey, we got a story we may be a little brother, but we're going to nudge you a little bit on this. And we've seen that over the years. And we saw a little bit in August with the introduction of the Mardi Gras service. You know, New Orleans told mm-hmm. their story of Mardi Gras, but then he came over to Mobile and it was pretty cool. You got the Mystic Societies, Mayor Stimson. I mean, it was really a neat flow from New Orleans to Mobile and kind of the two Mardi Gras on even settings, even floors with their stories to tell. And it was kind of this introduction and all along the Gulf Coast too. So it was kind of like Mardi Gras is just not New Orleans. It is the Gulf Coast. And so, yeah, it's good for Mobile. Just keep those little things that add up over a period of time have kind of created this momentum is what I've sensed. And next month will be second line transit. It might seem small, might seem minor to people that are skeptical about these kind of things, but that's just another addition of embracing Mardi Gras
as
a city and that brand. So.
And I want to point out, too, that I have went ahead and placed my bets at Kalshi and Poly Market for it to be the Mystics. So.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden they'll probably announce it as the Mobile Crickets, and then
there'll be crickets all around. John, people want to continue this, or obviously read the stories we've been talking about, and then tonight with the update stories, where do they find you?
Yeah, up at AL.com, of course, and then at JohnSharp99. I'll be tracking the Public Service Commission results this evening. The only candidate in this area is Jim Ziegler, so he'll be having a little rally this evening. I should be out there.
There you go. That'll be a party for sure. John, I appreciate it, man, and I'll cut you in on some of the money when I win over at Poly Market.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. There goes John Sharp from AL.com. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
99 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Wow, went late there. That's okay, though. Another half hour straight ahead. Seeing some of your totals coming in, too, from voting today. They said it was pretty darn slow in my neck of the woods here, and looks like for most of y'all, it is as well. Kind of saying, surely your rainfall theory wouldn't apply in California. Listen, it was what ChatGPT said, so it can't be wrong, can it? You just must accept everything it says. And never ask, you know, critical thinking questions like compared to what baseline, compared to general versus primary versus runoff versus contentious runoff versus normal runoff. Wouldn't do that. ChatGPT doesn't have time for that. All right. News is next. We'll be right back. 251-343-0106.
The United States of America.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
.135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And always good to talk to my buddy Blaine at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. And Blaine, like, I've rented equipment a couple times from y'all. You got a huge inventory of rental equipment, and then y'all take that out of rental at some point, and we get to buy it. Y'all are selling that.
That's right, Sean. So right now I'm working on this week rolling some stuff out of our rental fleet and just replacing it with new items. All this equipment that we're going to be rolling out has been up to date on their maintenance schedules through our shop here in Robertsdale at Parrish Tractor. So I know we're going to have some mini excavators and some skid steers in our open cab and enclosed cab. So if you're in the market, maybe not wanting to buy brand new, we've got some really good used deals coming out of our rental fleet. They'll range anywhere from 500 to 1,000 hours on them. Still plenty of life left in these machines. And like I said, they're all been up, kept up to date on their maintenance schedule. So nothing to worry about there, and still have warranty on all these machines.
All right. In addition to, and I would argue if you're listening, if my children were, that I would love a skid steer or mini X or something like that for Father's Day. But in lieu of that, y'all's selection of handhelds, if people are thinking about great gifts, like, I don't know if we've, I think you and I both understand this. Like, you would not buy a vacuum cleaner or something for a mother for Mother's Day. That would, you could do it once, just once, then you'd be sleeping outside. But if you buy Dad, you know, some handheld equipment for the yard work, I think, speaking for all dads out there, we like that.
And we've got plenty of that right now, Sean. In our showroom here, we're stocked full of steel handheld power tools and our gas and battery-powered unit. So if you're looking for a good Father's Day gift, come by and see us. We've got plenty of those handhelds in stock.
Good stuff. And y'all make that move, because Father's Day is on Sunday, so y'all make that move. Blaine, thank you, man. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine over at Parrish Tractor. We get to the text line here, try to get caught up. Here we go. Unnamed texter, 218 votes so far at Eastern Shore Baptist Church in Daphne. Pitiful turnout. Let's see. Okay, keep this in line here. By the way, Kana also said, I saw that, Kana. I didn't realize the second part. He writes this, said, the B-52 crash in California has my attention. Those big boys fly regularly, so it's not like they took one out of mothballs to play with it. The normal crew is five. The one that had been modified to test a new Boeing radar system, two Boeing personnel on board the plane, lots of Boeing personnel watching. I don't know. It seems like everything Boeing touches these days goes wrong. Kind of, we have, remember when the Boeing whistleblowers were disappearing and or dying at a rate like U.S. scientists in the United States that worked on anything that could possibly be dealing with aliens? If you follow that story, right? Even the president said something about it the other day. Remember like the Boeing people were disappearing or dying and like, oh yeah, they it's a shame they had a car wreck or they had this. Remember all that? That just went away. Where are we on that? Get an update on that. I'll go back to ChatGPT and ask, or maybe actually do real research. All right, let's see. Wally said, sad times in Bell Forest. counts 172. Normal at this time is 350 to 400. Rock and roll doctor just leaving Daphne Civic Center, 328 total votes as of 1240 out of a possible 8,000 eligible voters. Y'all let that sink in for a second. So even if they triple what they did by 1240, 8,000 eligible voters, in other words, registered voters, right? 328 had showed up. This texter says another Dirty Pritchard cop, Ryan Phillips, was just found guilty in federal court on June 4th and will be sentenced on August 24th. Yeah, I remember that. Thank you for bringing that back up, texter, or bringing it up. That was the, had the stolen handguns and all that. Yeah, so there, I mean, listen, this, and I don't think they're done. I have no inside track information, just have reading through the way they wrote the, you know, the information that came out today from the feds and this affidavit, and the way they're asking for information for other people. I don't think they're done at Pritchard, at Pritchard PD. So, yeah, but there's another one. You made a good point. Jerry said, will Mobile County Sheriff's Department be compensated for this situation, or does the rest, or do the rest of the citizens have to pick up the bill? Well, we pick up the bill because everybody's that's the thing about Sheriff's Department, right? So we often talk about, what were those GIS maps? Like, you've seen them, where you can take off a layer, add a layer, do all those kind of things. So the base layer is the Sheriff's Department. The whole county, responsible for the whole county. You can add, municipalities on top of that. But the underlayment and responsibility is the Sheriff's Department. We all pay taxes that goes to Sheriff's Department. So if you did not have a police force, the backdrop there is you have the Sheriff's Department. So we already are, yeah, we're all picking up, we're always picking up the bill. Now, how many extra officers will it be? How many extra deputies will it be? How much more time? I don't know that. But you have the right, you know, you have the right to public safety. And it's something Sheriff Birch had said here before, when they were going into Pritchard and helping with investigations, but also just helping in basic patrolling and law enforcement. And I don't know how much of this he said on the air, how much I'm going to step on myself, but I think he did. I think I can share this. He said they were contacted by people in Pritchard. Sheriff's Department were saying, please, please help us. We can't go outside our homes. This is not being investigated. This block is run by some thug over here. These are Mobile County citizens that are scared to leave their home. And if Pritchard PD wasn't doing it, what the Sheriff's Department did is went in there with a, you know, like a task force and went after that situation. Now, there might not be, I mean, there was crime scene tape around Pritchard Police Department this morning. It was the picture. I mean, they had it taped off. This has got to be brought down and reconstituted because it is a failed entity. Now, what in the clip, we could play those if we may go back to those, but Sheriff Birch had said they wouldn't be, they're not really set up for traffic. And as y'all know, that listen to the sheriff when he comes on for Ask the Sheriff, some of y'all, and it kind of amuses me, don't let the sheriff know, bring up traffic questions because that's not his thing, right? He's not a traffic guy. He says as much as the Sheriff's Department's really not set up for traffic enforcement. Maybe some other entity. Do you have? Okay, tell you what, here's the cut. We played it last hour, but here's a cut. Here's Sheriff Birch at the press conference today kind of talking about what might happen going forward in Pritchard.
Well, good morning. You know, this again demonstrates what can be accomplished through relationships with federal, state, and local partners. You know, moving forward, what this is going to look like is, you know, we don't know how long it's going to take to catalog and relocate the evidence that's currently at Pritchard PD. You know, we will probably be reinvestigating some existing cases. And as of a couple hours ago, we will be conducting all law enforcement operations within the city of Pritchard. The phones there have been forwarded to the sheriff's office. All 911 calls will be routed to the sheriff's office, and we will be responding to calls and giving the citizens of Pritchard the, you know, service that they deserve. And we've done so through various meetings with Mayor Davis. You know, she's on board with, you know, this happening. I don't have a specific time period as to how long this is going to be, but we're going to be very methodical in the methods. But again, providing safety for the citizens of Pritchard and the integrity of existing cases is our top priority. So.
All right. So Pritchard PD, I mean, the calls have been now forwarded to the Sheriff's Department. And then he said maybe Aaliyah or some other group would come in. I don't know. That does the traffic part of this. I mean, you know, fender bender, car wrecks, those kind of things. And hopefully it's sooner than later that it's reconstituted as a police department. But right now, a lot of questions of how deep this goes. Right. Motorman. Dang you, Sean. I got political text messages back to back yesterday. I blame you. I'll take my 2 to my wife's 10 messages, though. Well, you blame me because you vote, right? Well, okay, if that's been something I've done over the since 2009 to now, 17 years here, then I'll take the lick that you're a reliable, what do they call you, a reliable voter? There's another term for it. I had it earlier. If you vote a bunch like me, then they get your number. No, you blame the Secretary of State's office that sells the information. And don't you know they want to know people like us that showed up to vote when it was raining in a primary runoff? High propensity voter is what we are, right? So, and blame me. Here we go. Texter, I said, Sean, I just left ER Dixon, voted half day 240, usually a couple thousand. I was the only one there. That's my old polling place. I've been there too. Used to vote at ER Dixon before I moved a good bit. That's 2:40 for midday. Yikes. Almost 1 o'clock. Ella said I just voted in Magnolia Springs, number 380. So Ella, help us, is 380. Like, that's how I love this process, because we all kind of vote most of the time at the same places, same time of day. How does 380, is that light? Is that heavy for Magnolia Springs? What is it? Matt said just under 300 have voted at Baker. It's 2026, and I didn't be voting for Jim Ziegler on my bingo card, but here we are, getting rid of the old regime, only to replace it with a different kind of old. Don't get Zig mad at you, man. Be interesting. If he wins, what we'll see in PSC, right? Terry, once any politician or political group has your contact info, the genie's out of the bottle. No putting it back in the bottle. They share it, sell it, distribute it, etc. You cannot stop the avalanche that comes thereafter forevermore. Well, it's also, it doesn't even have to be the political, you know, once they get that from the Secretary of State's office, you're right, they're not going to go back and take it away. You make a good point, Terry. I will point out, though, the text I got that's looking past today and looking towards a special, right, that's looking towards a special election is something that said, they sent me like a survey, hey, will you vote in the August 11th special, congressional special primary, sent this thing, they always say, you get a chance to voice your opinion. I'm like, all right, I got a station that does that. But, all right, I didn't answer it. And then the next day I get one like, and I'm paraphrasing here, I don't have it open, but it said, hey, you want to try that again? In other words, they're dunning me. You didn't answer us yesterday, so we're coming back. Hey, you want to try it again? You down not to get me an answer? That's it right there. Let's see. Charles says, I'd love to know the cost per vote. It can't be low. You got that right. Let's see. Adam just voted the SEAL Center on Texas Street, which is in District 2. I was 193, and I was the only person voting at that time. How many of us have reported being the only person in the polling place today? I probably off this text line, 6 or 7 of y'all said the exact same thing.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 152, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Jeff Stone at Stone Arms, like his name for him. But he's one of many in there that know their way around. You're getting that silencer you've been wanting for a long time. They did it for me a couple years ago. They could do the same for you. And reminder, the tax stamp fee has been eliminated. Remember, the big, beautiful bill, one of the things that changed there is that $200 fee to get your tax stamp. It's no more. All you got to do is do the application and wait for your green light from the feds. So the tax stamp's gone. So you save $200. You go in. This is a process that is not a long process. Get in and out in about 30 minutes. And I did it, not to show off, I did it in 20. And what is amazing, too, is remember the days of old? People would put in for their tax stamp to get a silencer, suppressor, can, whatever you want to call it. They would put in, and it could be months waiting. I heard people even pushing close to a year. Well, way back a couple of years ago when I did it, I got it back in 2 weeks, and that's a standard now, 2 weeks or sooner. Although Jeff and the crew are getting some people the green light from the feds in 48 hours. Nice thing is, when you're there and you put your application in, you can go ahead and pre-select your silencer, plus the firearms. I mean, they got the silencers in stock, the new firearms, the used firearms. They got new items coming in daily. If you're looking for accessories for anything from a good old-fashioned lever-action rifle to a modern sporting rifle and everything in between, they've got them. And it's all one place. Stone Arms, they're on Airport, just about a quarter mile past Snow on Airport, online at stonearmsinc.com. Go see Jeff and my buddies out there soon, or see them online, stonearmsinc.com. Trying to rapid-fire some text here. Which, by the way, too, I just heard the mention on the news. They're talking about the terrorist attack, you know, the planned terrorist attack on the UFC fight. I would, if they didn't try that, I would have argued. I mean, I'd have been disappointed. And understand, there's satire in this. I'd have been disappointed if there hadn't been a terrorist attack planned for the White House UFC fight. I mean, if you're not doing something right, if the bad guys aren't trying to, you know, go after that. But yeah, they're talking more of the details now on that. But I mean, you had to. Like, if I'm working Secret Service, FBI, or whatever, I would have started the first meeting off 6 months ago and say, okay, they're going to attack. Now let's figure out where. Not if they're going to attack. That was too delectable of an item for terrorists out there. So, but yeah, they're talking about how the plan was supposed to go down. More of that, we'll probably cover it on tomorrow's show. All right, to the text here. Butterknife. We have such a low vote turnout, not because people don't give a damn, but because our choices are very slim. Republicans don't distinguish themselves from one another. I support Trump. I want to keep men outside of women's sports. They really don't say or do anything, so who cares who wins? So I'll put you down as undecided. Turnout. This is, okay. This from Stephen. 225 had voted out of 5,000 possible voters at Texas Street Community Center. So there you go. See, like, pretty poor turnout here. C.B. Carl said, I can't help but wonder if the low voter turnout over here is because the amount of from out-of-state new residents. A lot of those people like to call themselves local, you know, the L-O-C, like capital L-O-C, capital L, under, you know, lowercase O, lowercase C, and then capital A-L for Alabama, local. I get it. I've seen the stickers. But in reality, they care more about the elections for members of the HOA or COA than national politics and who runs local affairs. You're probably very right on that. HOA politics. Get into HOA someday. Squirrel Vereen says, I never get Alabama political text. Others go to spam, I guess. I might get poll calls I never answer. And then went on to say, I wouldn't be surprised if the team name for the hockey team were to be the Mobile Liberal Pride. Yeah, if you want to bet that one, I'll bet you on that one. Let's see. Michael. Oh, crap, Sean, did you realize you're about to make a killing in the campaigns for this year by selling our numbers from the text line? Something I don't do, Michael. Believe me, there's times people want information, don't give it to them. I'm a bad businessman, or maybe just one that's here for the long term, right? And then said, Sean, it's hard. It's already hard enough for grandma to drive down the road, but sending grandma out in the wet roads to just go vote sounds irresponsible. Just let us under 55, well, good, I'm still under 55, go pick the next senator. It's safer for the roads, and our sons and daughters are less likely to be sent off to war for Israel. Annie from Baldwin said, good news, the SPLC has been indicted. Is this new? Is this different than the one that came out in April? I'll have to look. I didn't know. Is there a new part of that? Something's happened. B-Dark says, the Mystics sounds a little queer to me. What? That's a cool, Mystics is a cool name. You're wrong. Let's see, Tuskers. 169 turnout at St. Pius on Sage. Pitiful. Yeah, that is pitiful. That's usually a pretty busy polling platform or polling place. And believe me, somebody had said you can always text stop. And April Marie and I talked about that, but it's somewhat of the amusement of seeing what they come up with next. But I always worry too, and I don't think it would happen with the political ones, but sometimes spam texting stop just makes them send more from other numbers. Freddie said, as of 1 o'clock today at Creekwood, 347 voters, a total of all machines. Well, we'll see what happens tonight. I got my cow sheet picks in, so I think I'll be making some money, and we'll do the show tomorrow starting at noon. Paul Feinbaum next.